receiver with the actual text of the Ikram in it.
Is that okay?
That is okay. I might, you know, if there's anything too sensitive, I'll just ask you to delete it. But so there's some extra underlining on our front page here. So if you just, there's two paragraphs with underlining in them. We're just going to ignore the first paragraph because that is the from a previous class. That's all I had with me when I made my source sheets. But so we're going to be talking about the idea of the fifth principle, which if we look at the keep my phone here because I have no idea what time it is. if we look at the Ani Mamin, so as I've mentioned before, the Ani Mamin is not always the most accurate. Sometimes the Ani Mamin has certain types of mistakes in it. But in this one, the Ani Mamin gets a good idea of the general idea of what this principle is. It's not exactly every nuance of it, but it's a good start. And we're going to talk about exactly what the Ikar is, what the idea is, and as we try to understand how it fits into the context of the Ikrim, of why it is so fundamental. So the Ani Mamin here summarizes the Ikar, says, Ani Mamin v'emunah shleimah shabaris b'atzmo lo levadol ra'il his palel, that to him alone it is appropriate to pray. The Ain Royale is Paul Zulaso Klal, and it's not at all appropriate to pray to any other. So next week, I think, or maybe either next week or 2 weeks from now, we'll talk about the definitiveness of that statement, that there's no other to whom it's fit to pray. But to start, he says he counters it in terms of prayer. But basically the idea that God is the only one who it's appropriate to worship. So we'll see that's a good summary of the Ikar. But let's see the Rambam inside, the Rambam's actual language. V'ha-yesod ha-chamishi, the fifth principle. Shehu yis'ale hu asher roi la'avdo, that God alone is the one, that God is the one who it is fit to serve. Ula romamo, ula farsim gedulaso, umashma aso, and to elevate him and to publicize him, and to publicize his greatness and his reputation to make sure he's heard of. Ve'ein osin kain lema shelamata mimenu b'metzias, and you do not do so for any of the things that are under him in their existence. Min ha-malachim, v'ha-kochavim, v'ha-galgalim, v'ha-yesodos, but from the angels and the constellations and the planets and the foundations, v'kol ma-shahurkav mehen, and any of the things that are composites thereof, l'fi shekulam mutba'im b'pu'olosehem, they are all ingrained in their actions, in their activities, meaning that they all do what they do by definition. Ein lahem shilton velo bechira, they have no control and no free will. Ella ritzono yisale, their only thing that they do is just Hashem's ratzon. They don't make any decisions. They don't decide to do it on their own, and therefore you're not allowed to, in the words the Rambam says, pray to them, serve them, or praise them. The ein osin osan emtzaim lahagia behamelav, and you do not make them intermediaries through which to reach Hashem. Zeha yesod chamishi hu hazhara al avodah zara, and this yesod of the serving Hashem is the idea of the iser of avodah zara, of idolatry, is the which he doesn't give us any one specific verse in the Torah. This is something that he says much of the Torah is presents this idea. The Rambam, the truth is somewhere else, says the entire Torah is really an azhara against avodah zara, but Right, that's what you're right. So the Rambam here says most of the Torah, much of the Torah is speaks this idea. The Rambam somewhere else, elsewhere, says that the entire Torah is a warning, is an azhara against avodah zarah. That's the Rambam in his own presentation of this ikar in the Perush Mishnah. Now, just before we turn the page, or you can turn the page if you want, but before we discuss what's on the next page, just to point out the two things the Rambam said, or maybe we should even say three things the Rambam said. Maybe we can even say fourth. We'll decide how many things we say as we say them. The Rambam says two things. He says to serve Hashem and to praise Hashem, as opposed to anything that's below Hashem, you don't serve or pray. I mean, so you don't serve or praise. The Rambam emphasized that they do not have bechira, that they don't have free will. And the Rambam said, so he doesn't have three things, and the Rambam said that you're not allowed to make them intermediaries either. You're not to acknowledge that certainly Hashem is in charge, but these existences are going to be the intermediaries, right? So we'll talk about what exactly is the ikar. What is the one point? We mentioned this before, that every ikar, every principle has one point, which is the ikar. And there are other things which are mistayif, which branch off of that, which are also true. But the Rambam, as long as he's telling you the ikar, tells you the whole picture, even though some parts of it are not the thrust of the ikar. So we'll try and understand what exactly is the point here. We have several points that he discusses. So which one is exactly the point? So on the next page in Mor Nevochim, we're going to see part one of a dichotomy that needs to be understood in the Rambam. We have a quote from Mor Nevochim, but before we do that, Rabbi Myers has a comment.
What do you mean by praise?
Because
I could say, you know, Rochelle, you made a really great cake. That was wonderful. That cholent was delicious. I'm praising her. What's the difference? Or if I say, oh, the sun, that's a beautiful sunset.
So,
you are so beautiful. I can't say that.
No, you cannot say that. You could say, oh God, you created such a beautiful sun. But you could not say, sun, you are so beautiful. You cannot praise the sun for being beautiful. You could praise, the truth is, when you think about it, this is kind of the point that we're going to leads into the point that we're going to make, but somebody walks by, you know, the Empire State Building, right? And they see it's such a tremendous structure, right? So when they think about the great accomplishment of the Empire State Building, and you know how it's an amazing, it's really awe-inspiring. You look at such a tremendous, you know, piece of accomplishment, right? So what do you think? You think like, wow, that's an impressive brick, or these are impressive bricks and steel, or you think that the engineers who made it and the construction and whatever, that was amazing. You attribute the accomplishment to where there is. You attribute the praise to where the accomplishment was. If you believe that the sun is responsible for its own, beauty or amazingness or warmth or whatever it is that you're going to praise it for, then you would praise the sun and you would say, "Sun, you are so warm," right? But if you don't, if there's the sun has nothing to do with its own beauty or magnificence, so a person who praised the sun, you would tell them they're kind of silly. Just like if someone, you know, stood outside the Empire State Building and started telling the bricks and steel how amazing they were, you would think they were, you know, they might need to go to the Navy hospital and see our resident psychologist. But,
it's not a Navy hospital anymore.
Oh, it's not a Navy hospital anymore. Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right.
You're not happy about that.
But if you praise the person to whom there's some accomplishment to attribute, that's not the bricks and steel aren't responsible for it looking nice. The people who made the bricks and steel into a nice structure are the ones who deserve the praise. But we'll talk about it. But that's going to get into exactly which is the point, which is the point, the ikar, and which things are somewhat tangential to it. So the Rambam has several places in which he describes the practice of Avodah Zarah. Not in case you wanted to try it out, but just to understand what exactly is wrong with it. The Rambam in Mor Nevochim says, he's going in the middle of a different discussion about a little bit to do with incorporeality and with some other things, but And the Rambam says, "Va'ata yodea," and of course you know, "Shekol mi sha'avad avodah zarah," that anyone who serves avodah zarah, "lo avda mitoch hanacha she'ein eloka zulasa," he's not serving avodah zarah from an assumption that there is no other God. "V'lo dima adam me'olam bedoro sha'avru," and there was no one silly enough in history to imagine, in any of the generations past, "v'lo yidme min ha'atidim," and no one's ever going to come up, "shehatsura shehu oseh min ha'matechos," that the image that he made himself from these raw materials, "min ha'avanim va'eto min ha'avanim min ha'etim," or from stone or wood or whatever it is, "osatsura bara'a es ha'shamayim va'aretz," he's going to think that this little statue that he just made half an hour ago created the heavens and the earth. There's no one silly enough to think that. He just made it, you know, it wasn't around 45 minutes ago. It couldn't have made Shemayim and Aretz. V'hi hamanhigo saman. There's no one silly enough to think that the statue that he just built made Shemayim and Aretz and is, you know, the guiding force behind Shemayim and Aretz. V'lo avadum, and they did not serve them, ela al derech shehem demus ledavar shu em tzayi beinenu lebein Hashem, that they are some kind of intermediary between us and the source of everything. All right, that basically the Rambam lays down that those who worship Avodah Zarah, at least before you get to a point of what we call Minhag Avoseim V'Yadehem, at a certain point we say that, you know, people don't really know what they believe, they just have certain customs and habits that they inherited, but at its roots, no one was worshiping Avodah Zarah because they believed that this statue that is 10 years old created the heavens and the earth. Of course, they're going to believe in, you get to people who believe in nothing. They'll believe that the world came, just happened to come and know God. But those who believed in Avodah Zarah didn't believe that their Avodah Zarah was the one God that created everything. They believed that there is a one God who created everything. And he's, you know, the source. And this Avodah Zarah is going to be my intermediary that I'm going to relate to in order to get what I, you know, that I'm going to have my relationship with this one, you know, aspect, the way he says it, that Shem Demus Ledavar Shu Emtsai. It's the one thing, one trait, one aspect in which is an intermediary between us and Hashem, right? I don't want to get into this. It happens to be that it does relate to part of this discussion, but I don't want to get too far into it because it's a little bit involved. But there is a machlokus rishonim between the the Rajba and the Rambam about something called shituf. Shituf literally means a partnership. But the question is, non-Jews have a prohibition of Avodah Zarah. That's one of the things that the non-Jews are also not allowed to do. The question is the prohibition of Avodah Zarah for non-Jews the same as it is for Jews? Meaning, Jews are not allowed to believe that there's God, and then there are, you know, an intermediary through which we're going to relate to God. God gave, you know, some jurisdiction to some other being, whatever it is. The Rajba says that non-Jews are allowed to relate to God through their mazel or their malach or whatever it is, that every nation has an angel which is the ministering angel of that nation, and a non-Jew is allowed to relate to God through his angel and is allowed to pray to that angel and serve that angel as realizing that that angel is the angel that God appointed over this nation. But as long as God, you know, gave a jurisdiction to this angel, so this angel is the one who's going to give you what you want and answer you. So the Rajba says in a tshuva that non-Jews are allowed to have shituf. They have to still acknowledge that, you know, at the end of the day, God is the big boss, but they're allowed to have shituf. The Rambam, from the clear implication of what we just saw in Mor Nevochim, says that there is no such thing as that the whole idea of Avodah Zarah is that they realize there's a God, but they want an intermediary. And if we turn the page,
does that mean that the Greeks, for example, take Zeus titans that came before them and then believe that they were created by God?
Is
Rambam going back that far into the past?
The Rambam implies that he's talking about all of history.
Okay.
So the Rambam would tell you that. So the Rambam has a lot of philosophy to talk about what different idolaters actually believed, and there are different things that were more symbolic in the way they worshipped. But he would tell you that no one believed that you might have someone who has a different god. For example, discussion in halakhic literature whether or not Allah for the Muslims is basically just the same as God, or is that a different god, right? But let's say that it's a different god. But at the end of the day, they're not believing that. Their idol is, they're believing in a one creator, whether or not they have things a little bit twisted about what the one creator is, but at the end of the day, they're going to get back to a one creator. So the Rambam is basically saying that anyone who believed in gods, at the end of the day, did not believe that their idol was the source of existence. So I don't know enough of Greek mythology to know if they believed that Zeus was, the creator who was in charge of everything, and then they had the minor gods, or if there was someone else who was I'm not so familiar. But if we turn to one more page past the page we just turned to to the last page of the packet, jumping ahead for a minute, but on the bottom of the page there, sorry, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah says Iker Hatzivoy Bavodas Kochavim. The primary command, the primary tzivoy in Avodah Zarah is shelo lavod echad mikol habruim, not to serve any created thing, lo malach velo gilgal velo kochav velo echad me'arba yesodos velo echad mikol nivroim mehem, not to serve an angel or a planet or a star or any of the four foundations of the earth, and not anything that was created from that. Va'af al pi sha'oved yodea sha'Hashem hu Elokim, even though the one serving knows that Hashem is the boss. V'hu oved hanivra hazeh al terech sha'oved enosh v'anshei doro, and he is serving it the same way that Enosh and his generation served them, which we'll see in a minute. That's what we're going to go back to in a minute. He's going to describe how idolatry devolved into existence. But he says, even if he's doing it like that, Harei Zeh Oved Kochavim, that's an idolater, right? So the Rambam says pretty clearly that the main point of idolatry is the fact that that you're seeing this as an intermediary. That's Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah Zarah to say God is for sure, in the absolute controller, but we have these intermediate beings. That's Avodah Zarah. That's the Iker. The Rambam says the Iker Tzivoy of Avodah Zarah is against that. So we have the Rambam seems to be on record that the idea of Avodah Zarah is that you still know about God, but there's some intermediary. You were going to ask something?
Yeah, just based on his Iker, and even though here, so he disqualifies things that don't have Bechira, right? But never points,
right.
What about worshiping a person
who has Bechira? So that's what I was trying to very vaguely allude to when I mentioned in the beginning that we'll talk about how ultimate the Rambam statement is when he says you're not allowed to, no serving anything else, which is why when I summarized or when I referenced the Ani Mamin before, and the Ani Mamin says Ve'ein Ra'i L'Hispalu Zulaso Klal, you can't pray to anything else at all. So that gets into, we'll talk about this next week, but we'll talk about the distinction between praying and praising, and we'll talk about the possible distinction between the things the Rambam listed and other things. When the Rambam talks about, just to give you the preview here, but when the Rambam talks about this here, he's talking about being oved, right? He's talking about serving them, not just praising them, but serving them. And he says, you can't serve any of these things, velo echad mikol hanivraim behem, and not anything that was created from them. So that would basically include anything that exists in physical creation, which would include people and animals and all kinds of fun stuff like that, right? But we'll talk about when the Rambam says it in the Yud Gimel Ikrim, he doesn't say that. We'll talk about that next week. But so the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah gives us a little bit of a history lesson, which is the Rambam does it every now and then, but it's usually an anomaly when the Rambam does this, and usually there's some reason why he does it. But the Rambam here gives us the skinny, gives us the short summary of how Avodah Zarah came to be. So the Rambam says, "B'yemei Enosh, ta'u b'nei ha'adam, ta'us gadol." That in the days of Enosh, right, we had Adam, and then we had Chase, and then we had Enosh. I'm sorry, not Chase. Yes, Chase. Right? Adam, Chase, and then Enosh. Right? So in the days of Enosh, humanity made a great mistake. V'nivara atzas chachme oso adar. And the idea of the council of the generation went wrong. V'enosh atzmo minatoim haya. And Enosh himself was from one of the people who are included in this mistake. Now, if we have time, we'll maybe get back to why the Rambam bothers to tell us that Enosh was included in this, because there's seemingly a double question. That first of all, that the Rambam is very concise in everything he tells you. The Rambam doesn't tell you things that are just, you know, for the sake of saying them. So why would the Rambam include this? Second of all, if there's no reason to say this, so there's no reason to just stomp to disparage someone, to just be, you know, for the sake of just throwing it in there. So the Rambam, hopefully you would assume, had some reason, some agenda in why he wanted to include this in his history. But maybe we'll get back to that. V'zehaisa te'usam. The following was their mistake. They said, since God created all of these things, and he put them up in the sky, and he elevated them so much, Reuyin heim l'shabchum ulefa'aram v'lachalok lehem kavod. It is fitting to praise them and give them kavod, to give them respect. It's fitting to honor them. Just like the Rambam, if you had a king, that to show honor to the king's agents is really, you know, by extension, showing honor to the king. You're showing, you're honoring his kingdom by honoring his servants. Kevan sha'ala davar ze'a libam. Once this idea occurred to them, hischilu livnos lekochavim heichalos ulahakriv lahen korbanos ulashabcham ulafaram bedvarim. So once they had this started, they began building temples to them and sacrificing to them and praising them, uleshtachavos lamulam, and bowing to them, kidei lahasig ratzon abore bedaitam hara, which in their mind they were doing God's will in order to praise God. They were bowing and worshiping these the sun and the stars. The Zehaya Iker Avodus Kochavim says the Rambam, this was the main idea of Avodah Zarah. That was the foundation of Avodah Zarah. However, continues the Rambam. So we're going to skip a few lines to the next halacha. V'achar she'archu hayamim. After many years went by, amdu b'vnei adam nevi'ei sheker. So some false prophets got up. V'amru shahakel tziva v'amar lehem. They said, God has told us, av ivdu kochav ploni, you should serve this star, o kol hakochavim, or all of the stars, v'hikrivu lo, and sacrifice to it, v'nischu lo, kach v'kach, and do whatever services to it, ubanu lo heichal, v'asu tzuraso kidei l'shtachavos lo, and you should do all these things and bow down to it. V'hischilu al derech zu lasos tzuros beheichalos v'tachas hailanos. And so based on, they started making idols in their temples and under the trees, Uberosh Aharim, and on the mountaintops, the Avaros, Umiskamptim, Umishtachavim Lahem, and they said, and they would gather and pray to them, the Omrim Lakol Ha'am, and they said to every, they told all, you know, the masses, Shezu Hatsura Metiva Umeria, that this idol is, you know, it is doing good or bad, meaning it's bringing about good things or bad things. The royal avdo liyira mimenu, and therefore you have to serve it and have fear of it. This is the next step, says the Rambam, was that they then attributed powers to these idols. Right? They're not saying that there is no God. They're just saying that these idols, God said to worship them, and they themselves have powers. These idols could decide to do good or bad. These idols could decide to reward or punish. And therefore, we have to serve these idols and worship them and respect them and have awe of them, fear them. V'hischilu koz v'macherim la'amod. Then a next stage, a next level of tricksters got up, of twisted people, velomar, and they said, shahakoch of atzmo, o hagalgal, o hamalach, diber imahem. They said, the first stage was, they said, God told us that this star, you know, is, he's in charge to a certain extent, and therefore, you gotta worship him, and he's gonna, you know, reward or punish. The next ones got up and said, the star came to me and told me, avduni bekach bekach. The star came and said, serve me and worship me in such and such a way. Now says the Rambam, v'kevan sha'archu hayamim, and after years went by, Nishtakach Hashem Hanichvad Vhanora Mipi Kol Hayakum. The name of God above was forgotten from civilization, Umidaitam, and from their minds, Velo Hikiruhu, and they did not recognize him, Vinimtu Kol Am Haaretz Hanashim Vaktanim. And it seems that all of the masses, the women and children, and meaning everyone, including the women and children, einam yodim el hatsura shel eitz v'shel evin. They only knew, the only thing they were familiar with was this form, this idol, this formed thing of wood or of rock, of stone. V'haheichal shel avanim shen nischanchu mikatnusam lishtachavosla. And this temple that they had been trained from their youth to bow to La'avdo La'ishava Bishma, to worship it and to swear in its name. Right, and those, and the, says the Rambam, and the Kohanim of those generations, they imagined, maybe should have underlined this next line, so we're gonna read it, Kohanehim, the Kayotzi Bahem, their priests. Midamin, they imagined, She'ein Sham Eloka, there was no God, Ela Hakochavim Vahal Gilgalim, Shenasu Hatsuro Sa'elu Biglalam Vilid Mosan. That the only thing that existed was these idols, or these stars, or these planets, or whatever it was, which they had made idols of. Aval Tsur Ha'olamim, Lo Haya Shum Adam Shahaya Makiro. Velo yodo, ella yechidim ba'olam, kagon chanoch umisushelach, noach shem ve'ever. There are only a select few who recognized and knew the one true God. It was a select few who really understood who God was. Now, I'm just going to go back to that point that I mentioned. The Rambam, well, actually, you know, we'll get back to that in a minute. There seems to be a fairly blatant contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam we saw in the Mora Nevochim says that that idolaters, those who worshipped Avodah Zarah, they weren't doing it out of an idea that this God created the world. they were doing it out of a... We know that... I know that this idol is not the one God that created everything, but this idol is going to be the one that I worship to fulfill my needs, to take care of me, right? And the Rambam here in Hilchos Avodah Zarah and Hilchos Avodas Kochavim says... Chacham shayu b'hem kigun kahaneim, right? Says they medamin she'ein sham eloka elo kochavim v'gilgalim. They imagined, they viewed as if there was no God, right? So the Rambam here seems to say that the final stage of avodah zarah was that there is no God. The Rambam seems to say here.
No, except that here we're only going up to the time of the Mabul.
Hmm?
He hasn't gone beyond the Mabul yet.
Right, so the Rambam goes on.
And all those people die. So there's a new. In other words, everybody who worshipped idols up to here dies. There's Noach, Shem, Ever, and Chama, the only survivors. And so it would have to. I don't know if he talks about
this. Well, Shem is a son of Noach.
Yeah, but they. In other words, what the Rambam is saying here, that they didn't know. The God, except for Chano, Mr. Shelach, Noach, and Aver.
So Aver is after the Mabul. Aver was only born after the Mabul.
Shane passed it down. What I'm saying is that a whole new, in other words, Noah's descendants would have to repeat everything the Rambam said here in order for this to have happened again, because all the people that did this were dead.
Okay, I hear you. Meaning you're saying... This is you're just asking a separate question that according to the Rambam's understanding of how avodah zarah developed, so this whole process would have had to restart itself in the time.
Right, because that could be why there's a difference, because maybe when it occurred it was different.
But it's not going to help us with the Rambam.
The Yefis just continued what they had already learned in their own.
Perhaps they were brought up by Noah, so.